is up. It is me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Andrew Einhorn. He is the founder and CEO of Level Fields. It is a company that is leveling the field when it comes to investors, helping the ordinary, average, everyday investor get the same resources as the big firms. So, Andrew's passionate about both the stock market and artificial intelligence, and this company combines those two and brings the resources that you need as an investor to look for different events and put to work artificial intelligence and the power of that to work to get better returns and better trading opportunities. We talked about the global economy. We talked about stock investing versus index investing. We talked about how it is possible to get a leg up and actually level the playing field. And then we finished with a great difference-making tip on the value of covered calls and how they work. I know you're going to love it. Let's go. Andrew, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
Two truths and a lie. All right. Best Buy, the company, paid me $10,000 to go kayaking.
Nice.
Second one, I invented a new beard style once that went viral on TikTok.
Excellent.
And long time ago, I wrestled a mountain goat that had attacked a friend of mine.
Okay, these are outstanding. You have come to play today, and I respect that immensely. Best Buy once paid you 10 grand to go kayaking. You invented a new beard style, went viral on TikTok, and you wrestled, you said mountain goat?
Mountain goat, yep.
Wow, really good, really good. You have a cool beard, so that's mildly believable. You're a technical guy, so Best Buy, why not? So I'm guessing that you did not wrestle a mountain goat.
Incorrect. I did guess a mountain goat.
Well, let's hear more about that one first.
So we were, some friends and I were camping in Southern Virginia in the national park. And before we started going up the trail, we had the park ranger. We had to check in, you know, because we're staying overnight.
Yeah.
And the park ranger says, just be careful. There's a really ornery mountain goat up at the top of the pass. It chased some people down the mountain last weekend. They called 911 screaming for help. I thought he was joking. You know, I thought he was just pulling a prank. I was like, yeah, that's funny. See you later.
Mountain goat.
Yeah. So we got up there, took about a half a day to get to the top of the mountain. And, you know, we're on this rock ledge. And I heard this unmistakable cry of a woman yelling, goat. And so sure enough, we see people running down the trail. They come out towards us on this rock face with about 1,000-foot drop off on the other side of it. Oof. This big, nasty horned mountain goat, probably 120 pounds, came out and just started going to town on our lunch that was, you know, spread out on the rocks. Starts to move all the equipment. We had a couple of cameras and things like that. And so its hoofs were bumping against, about to knock off. Friend of mine tried to go in and grab her camera, which, you know, at the time they were valuable. And the mountain goat just turned on her and rammed her like in the chest. She fell down. Then the thing took his horn like it was going for its neck on the ground.
Whoa.
And I jumped in front of her and just grabbed her by the horns and used to wrestle. So I put it in a wrestling hold to head a head and arm around this thing and was just sitting there holding this goat down while everybody left, trying to figure out what's my next move. That was the harder part.
So, well, that is amazing. Yeah, reminds me of that scene from Dodgeball where Witt or whatever his name, White Goodman, he's got the painting of him taking the bull by the horns. So you actually did that. That's amazing. All right. So which one was the lie?
I did not invent a new beard style and I have not gone viral on TikTok.
All right. Are you on TikTok?
No, we tried a little experiment, I think, like a year ago, and it just wasn't a good fit.
Okay, good enough. Do you have ideas for new beard styles?
I don't. I've had this one for quite some time.
Okay. Tell me about the Best Buy thing.
So Best Buy was an interesting one. Years ago, I had a blog, and at the same time, I had gone on another kind of outdoorsy trip. So we went on a kayaking adventure in the Keys, about 8 miles off the coast, kayaked out. The short version is stayed on an island. And on the third day, a really bad storm came and we couldn't make it out of there. And so we got drifted basically to another abandoned island, got stranded there, had to figure out a rescue for ourselves. So we had to find a way to get the Coast Guard. We didn't know where we were because we were lost in the storm. So I used an iPhone app to locate our longitude and latitude, gave it to the Coast Guard. They came for a rescue right in the evening where we were about to spend the night in the rain with no supplies and on a deserted island. So I wrote a blog about it, said, you know, how an iPhone app saved my life. And I got a call from a talent booking agency in LA that they want to redo our story into a Best Buy Christmas commercial. And would I be willing to fly out to Los Angeles to record this commercial? So they reenacted the whole thing and they rented like Coast Guard boats and they basically paid me $10,000 to just paddle around the bay of LA while they took different videos. And yeah, that was my Best Buy story. Never actually got to release the commercial, but they made it.
Well, those are some good adventures, man.
Yeah, they were interesting.
How do you feel about risk, Andrew?
I feel pretty good about risk. Probably why I'm an entrepreneur.
Probably why you're an entrepreneur. Well, I'd love it. Okay. Awesome. Well, well done. You got me. What is top of mind for you right now?
I would have to say the election. Presidential election is definitely top of mind. I don't hear a lot on either candidate addressing the national debt. So it's concerning that this is just going to be another can kicked until that can becomes a stone wall.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like a pretty obvious thing that we ought to be having conversations of any kind about, but
at least a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, no, nothing. Maybe a debate question, I dare ask. Yeah. You know, where was that one?
No. We've got other things to worry about.
Right. Let's just hide from the white elephant.
We got other things to worry about. And the market doesn't like the uncertainty either, does it?
Better to talk about eating cats. Yeah.
Better to talk about eating cats. So uncertainty, risk, all these things. How do you feel about the markets? You obviously enjoy them. You're curious about them.
I am. I love the markets, just not necessarily only about the making money part, though that's fun. It's more about understanding how the whole global economy works and how it's intertwined. And so when I am researching stocks or looking at events that are coming through Level Field's platform, I'm kind of getting like a front row seat to the entirety of the global economy in one view. And that part's really interesting to me because you see just how things are associated and can see the butterfly effect, you know, from global macro events and how they trickle down to some small company, right? That's, you know, like our size. And that's interesting. On the whole, you know, I think we're in pretty good shape. I think the market is pretty highly valued right now relative to history. So I'm a little wary that there's going to be a significant correction. And if there isn't one, you know, a 10% move in the next 3 months, it's going to be far bigger, I think, early next year. It's just kind of how things shake out. You know, you go up in price, like up an escalator and down an elevator, typically when there's a correction. So, you know, keeping an eye on that, but at the same time, not hiding money under my mattress or anything like that. You know, just looking for individual opportunities and individual stocks and not looking at indexes because there's a lot of bloat in valuation. And, you know, if you look to historic levels, and people are trying to do this all the time, right? There's like, oh, we just started a rate cutting cycle. What is it like? You know, is this 2007? Is this 2001? Is this 1995? Is this 2018? I think it's most like 1995, where we had a strong economy, a good labor market. Only difference is the valuations of the sectors then were 25% lower than they are now. And so I think there was more room to run and stocks went up you know, significantly than 30, 40, 50%, depending on the sector. I think a lot of that's been priced in right now. I think we've been waiting for this hurricane recession that Jamie Dimon predicted a couple of years ago. That never came. And so I think it's like the most overprepared our economy's ever been that there might could be some softening or some recession. So a lot of the companies just started making those preventive moves far in advance. And I think it drove, you know, earnings growth doing those moves. And that's what the market responded to. And it's almost like the recession or the rate cutting cycle had already started. You know, it's like a head fake and everybody just did the practice run for real. And then we're here and now kind of reality has caught up to the market. So I suspect we're just going to bump around a little while until, you know, the next really big catalyst, positive or negative, is going to shift the sentiment. Or, you know, what typically happens is you get, you know, the billionaires come out and they start trying to scare the hell out of the market that, you know, so they can buy things cheaper. And that happens, like, you know, happened with NVIDIA not that long ago. So, you know, those are kind of the things that are front of mind. You know, we are, philosophy is a little different than most at Level Fields. Like, we're looking at events, right? And we want the event to happen, and then we try to figure out what's the best reaction to that event based upon historical patterns. And so our view is not really long term, because philosophically we believe that almost impossible to predict how companies are going to perform long term. You know, you see all these kind of clickbait stupid headlines out there that are, you know, just give me $20 and I'll tell you what the next Amazon is going to be, or this company is going to be 3 times bigger than NVIDIA. It's all garbage. But people fall for it. The reality is you can't predict that far out. You can't predict 20, 30 years out, you know, and companies certainly go through really big economic cycles. I mean, Amazon almost went bankrupt. Apple almost went bankrupt. Now look at them. And so these boom and busts. GE, you know, in 2002 was the largest company on the planet. And if you held for 20 years, you would make zero on your money. It's finally starting to break out. Now they pull it into a bunch of different pieces. So we don't do that. We just look at what's going to happen tomorrow based on what happened today. What's going to happen the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks out, you know, 6 months out, sometimes 12 at the more extreme levels. And that keeps it easier to predict, fewer variables, fewer random acts of nature or human unkindness that will get in the way, as we see with these global conflicts, that can really mess up your investing. So, you know, if you're like most people and need access to your money, having it 100% invested in an index that could collapse at any moment based upon, you know, a rogue missile from a rogue nation or another pandemic, it's hard, you know. So kind of coming in and out in the market, having some long, some short-term investing, some cash, take advantage of events when they occur, that's kind of our method and our approach. And if you can find events that are moving share prices really in an outsized manner, you know, 6, 7, 10, sometimes 40%, 60% in a day, there's really no need to sit in the market the rest of the year if you can catch a couple of those a year. You know, most people sit there for a year to get a 7, 8% gain, maybe 9, when that could be accomplished in a week or less. You know, just look at Constellation Energy's stock today. You know, one announcement from a Microsoft deal and they were up 25%. And yesterday they were up too, and our system kind of noted some irregular activity, you know, breaking out of the trading pattern. And unfortunately, I'm usually too busy marketing and managing the company to follow every investment, so I missed that one. But some of the options traders, you know, that use the system, they definitely benefited from it, because, man, the option contracts that were expiring today were like 27,000% increase. It's just crazy.
Wow. All right. So you have a love of the market and obviously technology. And we're looking at different events and taking a shorter term view. versus a longer term view and looking at individual individual opportunities versus indexes. Who did you make this for?
Made it for everybody is the short answer. You know, we just felt that it was an unfair advantage that some of the large firms had over an individual investor. And when you have, you know, hundreds of, if not thousands of analysts working for you, like a Goldman Sachs, you can accomplish quite a bit of monitoring of the market, of looking at the millions of filings and reports and news articles that are out there. But if you're an individual, you can't. You can monitor maybe 30, 40 stocks. And that's probably at the extreme of what most average people are willing to do. And it's unfair because you don't have access to 99% of the market. I mean, just in the US, there's 6,000 equities. So if you can only monitor 30 or 40, you're missing a lot of opportunities again and again and again. And, you know, we started to see, particularly living through the last 4 years, where events were really driving our entire society, you know, whether it be COVID or political events, right? New elections, policy changes, weather changes, anything, riots, right? Unrest and protests and strikes. All these things were really what was driving kind of the public narrative, driving reactions in the markets. But there's no data set to sort of tell you how these things normally go. And so your average individual is sort of at a loss. They have then formed a reliance on news to sort of interpret that. And more the news is really influenced heavily by large institutions that have the resources to sort of push it in the right direction where they want it to go. So we wanted to kind of even the playing field, hence the name Level Fields, and give every individual investor the same kind of technologies and the same kind of opportunities that you would get if you had much larger resources. And the equalizer to that is artificial intelligence. Because while you cannot read the reports of 6,000 companies 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 30,000 documents a minute, Level Fields can't, and you don't need to anymore. And so now you have kind of this, you know, mastery over the market because you can see those opportunities that are out there and you see them early, not late. You know, we'll read about the story or see it on the news when a stock is up 100%, 300%, 1,000%, 10x return. And you're like, how come I never heard about this, you know, before this moves? That's the most common question. And so we actually went in and said, well, how can we find those? Let's look at a combination of like academia and our own research and our own knowledge from a previous company we ran. And we created an AI system that looked for those kind of inflection points in companies. Sometimes it's short term, sometimes it's, you know, longer term. Could be a product launch or just could be giving money back to shareholders. But something that's like concrete evidence of what's going on at that company. And usually it precipitates, you know, a longer or, you know, a bullish run, or in some cases we have bearish events that will show the opposite. Like, hey, when this report comes out, dump this thing because it's going down the drain fast. So, you know, we wanted to really protect people. And that's what motivates us as a company, is not just, you know, trying to figure out how to make money in the markets. It's like, well, you know, everybody has to make money. We all have to keep up with these crazy inflation rates. And now we have to make more money than ever before since, you know, we've been dealing with 9 and then 7 and then 5 and now 3% inflation or a little less. But still, what that really means is if you're not taking your existing money and growing it, you're losing value. You know, your $100 is now worth 97 and so forth. So it's essential that people invest. It's essential that, you know, you find different ways of growing that money to keep up with the pace of, you know, a lot of times government spending causing it. So that's why we invented Level Fields. And we want everybody to have a fair crack at the markets, even those who don't really understand, you know, deep fundamental analysis or haven't been versed in deep technical analysis. And we tried to make it really easy in this very common sense way. Like, hey, this event happens, right? This CEO departs. And if it's a big company and successful company, guess what happens? The share price drops, right? But here's the other side of it. It usually goes up again 2 months later. So if you have that story and you have the data to prove it, just like a weather report, you know the probability of this happening and how long it's going to last. You say, you know what? This is a buying opportunity. I'm not going to freak out and sell all my shares of Amazon if Bezos leaves. So, you know, that was the other part. It's like, can we just calm people down a little bit? Because there was this like mania for a while, you know, extreme reactions on both sides, right? It's like, oh my God, I have to get in on GameStop or I have to get in on NVIDIA at all costs. And then people get hurt because they come in at, you know, $400 for GameStop with, you know, $100,000, and then they lose $70,000 in 2 days. And likewise, the opposite, like when you hear a few whispers that there might be a recession, then the whole market's tanking on the words of, you know, one person. So, you know, we wanted to kind of temper things and say, let's, can we have a data-driven approach? Can we get away from these kind of BS, you know, stock picking services that are just like some dude on the internet trolling forums and saying, you know, Mike's stock picking service is the best. I know what the next NVIDIA is. And just be very, very data driven, very shorter term, I would say, so we don't have to make these like large prophecies. So long answer to a short question, but you know, it's meaningful for us.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really exciting. I've been wondering, always kind of thinking, you know, with AI being able to process so much information, it's got to be an opportunity for us regular investors to take advantage of it. And here we are having a conversation about the very thing that I've been wondering about. So I think it's awesome. I think it's really exciting. And I appreciate you coming on. So that being said, Andrew, we're ready for your difference-making tip, sir. What do you have for us?
This one's a little bit more detailed than others that I've heard, but I'd say, you know, one of the things that I've discussed with some of our users is everybody has long-term holds, right? Apple, Amazon stocks that you're kind of never going to sell, but they do go up and down quite a bit. And you see, oh my God, like now, you know, Apple's at $230-something a share. There are opportunities to kind of make money when that happens without selling the stock through covered calls. So my difference making tip, learn about covered calls. You have these long-term holdings and the stock goes on a huge run. Take advantage of that. You can sell somebody else the option to buy it from you. And oftentimes pocket like another 9 to sometimes 20%. And then if the stock goes down, you buy it back for pennies on the dollar and you keep the premium. So it's an easy way to make money. You know, for money that you already have invested.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on. Andrew, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you and how can they get involved with Level Fields?
Go to levelfields.ai. We have a YouTube channel. You watch some videos there. We've got tons of case studies. We have training materials on the app. It's only a couple $100 for a subscription. There's a free newsletter you can sign up and just get a flavor of, you know, what it's all about and how it works. You don't have to be an expert in the market for this, and certainly probably know somebody else who would be benefiting from hearing about it. So please spread the word.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Andrew your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to levelfields.ai and check out everything that Andrew's been talking about today. Check out their YouTube channel and all of the educational and training materials, because I know that the markets and AI can be confusing places, but they've done such a great job of distilling it down and making it actually usable versus just an unlimited amount of information and stuff. So I appreciate that very much. Thanks again, Andrew.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Finally, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.